Hello everyone, my name is Andy Spiteri, and I'm the host of the ZeldaCast, and the Omega Metroid podcast, and Virtual Theater. As you can tell, I really love podcasting. After almost 6 years of the ZeldaCast, 5 years of Virtual Theater, and 4 years of the Omega Metroid podcast, I swore that I would never make another podcast, but here I am today, excited to announce not one, not two, but three extra bonus shows that you can get each month on my newly reimagined Patreon channel, available at patreon.com/spnet. You'll have your choice of bonus shows, depending on which tiers you choose to sign up for. Each podcast has its own monthly bonus show. The ZeldaCast will have the ZeldaCast Top 10s, where we can have some fun and give out a classic ranking on different topics each month with a different guest. Omega Metroid will continue with the Great Metroid Area Ranking, where we are ranking every single area in the Metroid series. And Virtual Theater will debut the Spiteri's Review, a show where my wife and I will give some thoughts on movies or shows, old and new. There's also an Ultimate tier that will get you access to all of these bonus shows if you really want to take your Spiteri podcasting to the next level. If that isn't enough, all shows feature a level of interactivity where patrons can weigh in and vote on which topics, shows, and areas we discuss next. Membership starts at as little as $1 a month, so I'm hoping you'll check out all the great bonus content that's going to be coming your way on patreon.com/spnet. Whatever your bonus show of choice, I want to thank you for listening, and I hope to be able to see you over at patreon.com/spnet. Welcome to the Omega Metroid podcast from OmegaMetroid.com. My name is Andy Spiteri, reunited with Dakota Lasky. Dak, what's going on, buddy? Doom is here too. Hi, Doom. But what's going on, Dak? We've missed you the last couple weeks. What's going on?
Hey, missed y'all too. Thanks for having me back on the show. It's good to be back. I was kind of hoping Metroid Prime 4 would be announced by now, so I'd be like, all right, I can come back and talk about that. But it never came. So I was like, well. All right, let's just jump right back in. And why not with such a perfect episode to do it, I think. Even though I am a huge Zero Mission fan, but it was nice to just listen to the episodes and just enjoy them. Mm. So, because that is a favorite of mine. But yeah, it's good to be back. I don't really have too much to share. It's kind of business as usual on my end, but it's good to be back to be talking some Metroid. And can't believe it's already halfway through March pretty much at this point. But yeah. I'm hoping we get some big Metroid news soon. In the meantime, yeah, nothing too much going on my end. How about you?
Sam and I just finished our 6 month journey watching The Sopranos, which takes place in your neck of the woods, I do believe.
It does, yes, yes.
So we learned a lot about waste management and other types of things. In fact, I'll just go ahead and do a little bit of plugging here. We actually started another podcast with Sam.
And, no, you didn't.
We did. So I have four now. And our debut episode is actually going to be about The Sopranos, which is actually going to be coming out later this week. So if anyone wants to check that out, that's what we've been doing. But no, we've been kind of patiently waiting for anything, really. Like there is the rumors of Switch 2 and that they might be showing it in March, and that still could happen, but as the days tick away, it's Mario days come and gone, and there's still no Metroid Prime 4 news, although there is a sequel to the Mario Bros. Movie coming out in 2026. So there you go. But yeah, it's business as usual over on this end. Doom, what's going on with you? How are you?
Well, first off, we do have something to plug that we actually spoiled a little bit early on the ZeldaCast. So for all of you here who watch both podcasts, you already know what's coming up. But for those of you who don't watch the ZeldaCast, first of all, what are you doing? You got to watch all of the Spiteri episodes, my man. So you got to do the ZeldaCast, you got to do the Virtual Theater, and you got to check out his new podcast.
Look
with
at
Sam.
This guy.
But we're good. But regardless,
how much are you paying this guy? I didn't know that we could start getting ad reads. What is this?
Yeah, this episode has been brought to you by Raid Shadow Legends. Join today and level up to level 24. Oh, anyways,
don't give him a huge plug. We could get paid for that. Yeah, don't do it. Anyway, go ahead.
So, So, anyways, let's travel back to the year 2023. So, just about a year ago, we got Metroid Prime Remastered. Shadow dropped on us all. Completely surprised the hell out of us. I don't think any of us expected to be playing Prime the same day that it was announced. That was great. And, you know, like all of our games, you know, we like to put strategy guides out on OmegaMetroid.com, you know? And but the thing is, because it was Shadow dropped, we didn't really have a lot of time to, you know, do the full guide treatment that we usually do. And so, with a lot of our guides, we usually have a written walkthrough. But we didn't do that for Prime Remastered. And part of that was due... You know, because we wanted to push it out there. A part of it also was just because it's a lot of work, and Andy is pretty much the only guy that does those written walkthroughs, and, you know, understandably, he had his hands full, didn't really want to do that. But I am someone who reads the YouTube comments. I'm fairly active in the Discord. I read the Twitters, and I've been seeing your comments, and I've seen a lot of you going, hey, I can't find the Metroid Prime walkthrough. What's going on? Why can't I find it? Well, folks, I am here to proudly announce today that I am in the process of writing that Metroid Prime walkthrough. In fact, I just reached the phase on mines yesterday. We're in the final third of the game. And this first draft of the walkthrough will be finished shortly. And I don't have a final date set on when we're going to publish it, but we're hoping to get it done relatively soonish. And I do have plans in the near future to do Echoes and Corruption as well. We're going to do the entire trilogy and give it that full walkthrough treatment, 100% items, pro tips, you know, so you can get your fast missile swaps, so you can get your, get a good hard motor on, and
How much money do I owe you for all the plugging here, Doom? It seems like it might be a lot, but yeah, no, that's
About Tree Fitty.
Yeah, that's super awesome. Doom's been doing a great job. I took a little sneak peek at the walkthrough, and it looks awesome, full of personality as our guides try to be. Because I mean, there's tons of different walkthroughs that you can go to. We try and just offer like, hey, you probably don't need help necessarily, or maybe you do, but this is just a different way to experience the game. So I'm excited for that to be nearing completion, because I think it's almost, you know, we're almost there. So. That's what we got going on here. And, again, we're kind of just waiting for some news to drop here. Although I will say that we do have a whole slew of shows, coming up after this that I'm really excited about, that are going to be focusing on the 30th anniversary of Super Metroid. So that's going to be super awesome. That's coming up in the next couple of weeks. But today, I think it's finally about time that we discuss Samus's first disciple. I posted that in the Discord and people went nuts. And I think people have wanted us to cover this for a long, long time. People really, really have strong feelings and a strong attachment to what we're going to talk about today. Manga in Review returns, and we are here to finally dive into volume one of Samus and Joey. A fairly beloved like manga in the community. What did you like? I feel like I see a lot of people talk about Samus and Joey. Would you guys agree with that?
I don't want to say I see a lot of people talk about it, but when I do see people talk about it, they talk about it very fondly. I haven't really seen people like, yeah. I feel like there's a very small dedicated fan club for this game.
Yeah, I mean. Personally, I've never understood if it was like people genuinely like it or they're just like memeing it and like, yeah, this is really the best thing ever. You should totally read it. And it's like Morbius or something. So I don't know if it's like, I honestly never knew if it was like, is this actually good? How good could it possibly be? And are these people just like liking it because they actually like it and they're liking it ironically? So, yeah, I don't know if I would say like it's beloved by a ton of people or talked about a ton, but when it's brought up, people definitely are like, this is really good, you should check it out. I've never really known to take that seriously or not, so.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I always felt like I had heard a lot about this manga, more so than any of the other ones. And And the people that do love the Metroid manga, as we found out in our last episode that we did covering the Metroid manga Volume 2, people take it seriously, man.
I've heard a lot of people talk. I mean, that's the one that's talked about a lot more. But yeah, I'm sure there are a lot more like actual opinions on that, because that's, it's not canon, but it's kind of the closest thing to canon that like the manga is going to get out of all of the different ones, or the several different ones. So whereas this one, like, it's not as divisive whether or not, you know, Joey has Heelys, and that's okay in the Metroid universe. Like, who cares? So
I would say that, and we'll go through all the chapters here, but my general impression that I'll just tell everybody is, when we did the Metroid manga Volume 1, my general impression of that was like, wow, that was awesome. Like, that was really, really great. When we did Volume 2, my impression was kind of like, ugh, that was like, it left a bad taste in my mouth. And I don't know about you guys, but I kind of feel like I'm still figuring out what my impression of Samus and Joey Volume 1 is. It really? Didn't, like, yeah.
You're putting that much thought into this.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I guess
okay, I'm sorry,
I wanted to love it, because I've seen a lot of Metroid fans really, really gravitate towards it, really like it a lot. And I think it was fine, but I didn't love it. But I also wouldn't say that I, like, hated it by any means. I guess I kind of felt like, okay, like, that was a manga. And as we'll go through, and you know, I have some things I want to point out, and I'm sure you guys do as well. But I don't know, that was just my, like, general immediate takeaway. What, Dak, like, what was the sticking point for you about this manga? Was it something similar, I guess?
Honestly, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a lot better than I was expecting it to be. But my expectations were kind of like lowish, I guess. I'm also now realizing I missed the fusion chapter, the special fusion chapter. So I'll try to like skim it while we're talking here. But yeah, my full thoughts on it was, my expectations were low. I figure, okay, it's like gonna probably be some like jokey kind of comedy thing, and it was kind of what I expected, but it was pretty good for what it was. I think my biggest problem with the initial, or like the Metroid manga, like the Metroid manga that we read already, was, besides like some of the writing choices and character choices, like, it was unfinished, you know, like I was hooked in. Actually, I don't know. I mean, I guess you weren't hooked in by the time I was, but like in Volume 2, like, I was ready, like, all right, she's gonna go fight Mother Brain, like, let's see it through. And then it's, you know, okay, we're going to end the story because you got to go play Zero Mission and see what happens. So for this, going into it, I was like, okay, this doesn't like attach to any game, it's not like promoting anything, so I should be able to just see like a complete story here, at least in this volume. That's like pretty much kind of what you get, like, for the most part. But yeah, I thought it was pretty decent. I thought it was pretty good. It was better than I expected. It was surprisingly pleasant.
Okay. A general takeaway, general thoughts for you, Mr. Crossing.
Thank you. So this is really interesting. So I think my biggest problems with the Metroid manga, and you guys really helped me see it in a more positive light, which I really appreciate, when we did those first couple of episodes. But my initial problems when I was reading that was basically, I just felt it was really tonally inconsistent to what I enjoy out of Metroid. You know, you had, and then especially in episode 2, there was a lot of weirdness, like, you know, the whole Adam Samus banter, like that whole thing was just weird, which is a shame, because otherwise I thought that was like the coolest depiction of Adam we've ever seen.
Oh, by far.
But like, yeah. And so, overall, there's, you know, you have the butterflies, you know, just a lot of weirdness throughout that whole thing, that it's just like, I don't know, this isn't really my Metroid. With here, it's pretty unambiguous that this is not a canon story. This is very Elseworlds, if you will. And I feel like because of that, it was a lot easier to just kind of accept it for what it is. And I was kind of reading it not as a Metroid story, but more of like, you know, what if Metroid was like, you know, this cheesy 80s, like almost G.I. Joe, you know, kind of,
say like a Saturday morning cartoon.
In that light, like, you know, it's not, I wasn't blown away, but I'm like, yeah, this is actually pretty entertaining. And there's even a few like really badass panels and like cool imagery like throughout as well. So yeah, for what it is, yeah, I had fun.
So I think I'm going to play the role of you this time, because I did come away from this
the hater.
I'm not gonna be a hater, but I am gonna just put out there to everybody. I will admit that the manga isn't my favorite medium. I don't like that it's black and white, and not that it's confusing reading sideways, but it takes me a sec for my slow brain, which operates in slow motion perennially, just to be able to be like, right, you got to start from the other side. Because I'll just like, I mean, it takes me a little while to get into that groove. But I think the black and white particularly during action sequences is what I struggle with a little bit. So I do have to admit, manga isn't my number one choice if I'm looking to digest a story. But like, I kind of like, because there were some things I liked about this, some things that I was just like, yeah. And I guess I'm wondering, like, I'm hoping that you guys today can kind of do what we did for you, Doom, where it's like, yeah, that's kind of like, eh, but like, does it really matter? So I guess let's just, if you guys are ready, let's just get into this and we can kind of take it from there and talk about volume one of Samus and Joey. You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Absolutely.
All right. So I will say, so chapter one, the legendary bounty hunter. I love the chapter titles for this. They're super cool. And I do really appreciate and like that the first couple of pages are just like an intro to like the characters. Like you get the character bio. So like, it's like Joey, he's a reckless young boy and he's from the frontier planet of Liberty. And like Diesel, he's this like floating cat head who owns a junk shop. And Dragut is a leader. The leader of the eight races of space pirates who kind of looks like Kraid, but he's got like these goat horns on him. Looks kind of cool. They also introduced a character named Jealousy, which has got to be like the worst name for a villain ever, right? Like that's a bad name, but he looks cool. He looks kind of like this like shark with this like little smiley face on his forehead, and he's got a pretty cool bodyguard named Bombad, who is like this robot and whatever. So I liked kind of the intro for everybody right off the bat. So immediately I was like, okay, cool. Like this is cool.
Yeah, it was like you're seeing like the intro of a TV show, and it's showing the different characters. Like, and immediately you gets the vibe of this is not supposed to be like super serious, tongue in cheek, kind of more of a kid's angled thing, which is, I think, funny how the manga, even across the different Metroid mangas, how the character designs are so wildly like diverse and just don't seem to have any kind of like tonal like consistency or like design consistency. They look like they're from completely different IPs that have no relation. But I think it's just very funny because it's for what reason they do that in Metroid, I'm not sure, but it always seems to happen across the medium. So these are cool. I don't know if I agree Jealousy's the worst villain name, but I do like Dragut because they're like a Bowser Kraid like wart character.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Ridley and Mother Brain are referenced, so it's not like they don't exist in this, but they're like, oh, like we're doing our own thing afterward, like screw it, we're gonna make up this guy. And he just looks like an amalgamation of other Nintendo villains anyway. So this was cool.
All right, well, so let's continue here. And one thing actually that I also want to mention too is like, I thought that the artwork here was like very cool. Like there's especially like the first panel that you get is like this really, really cool sci-fi panel. And like, it just, the planets look cool. I was really impressed like initially, like opening this. And I actually thought that I spotted a few Pokemon in this manga too. I don't know if you guys did.
A few?
Yeah. I'm telling you, there was there was Charizard on page 10.
There's a Charizard in the Space Pirates.
Who's that Pokemon?
You got Blastoise who shows up later.
Blastoise shows up.
Where's Venusaur? Like, where's Raichu? we should also do as well is we should give a shout out to Metroid Database who translated and hosted all of these comics. They're available over on metroiddatabase.com. So if you want to read them, go and check them out. We'll link them in the episode notes as well. So thank you to our pals over there for doing the translation work. It is appreciated. So we meet Joey. He is a reckless kid, a little bit annoying too, as most young kids are, and space pirates are attacking his village and things are going bad. He's about to get blown up, but if not for a timely save from Samus. Did you take umbrage with my characterization of Joey as a little bit annoying?
No. I just thought it was really funny in this because there's no like subtlety at all.
No.
Where like in the first, like the second page is like, oh, I wish some space pirates would show up so I could save the day. And then literally on the next page, space pirates show up. But like, I think this makes him a villain because he wants bad things to happen to the village so he can save the day. Like, is that not like what happens in The Boys or like some other show where like the superhero is like, isn't that Invincible?
It's Mysterio from Far From Home.
Like creating like a thing where then you got to come. It's like a false flag. You got to come and save the day. A problem you created. That's literally what he's the bad guy. This little kid. He wants the space pirates to show up so he can save the day and be the hero. When in actuality, he shouldn't want the space pirates to show up at all. And look what happened. So yes, that's the problem I had.
This is more sinister than we realize. You're right though. He does. It's I do love too. Like it is very charming. It's very. There is no subtlety. Like, man, I wish space pirates were here. The space pirates are all of a sudden here, and it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, it's that I was immediately bought into that. Like little things like that, little asides, like the editor's notes.
Oh my god!
One panel later,
I love the editor's notes. Skipping ahead,
but like, there's like one panel where like he's like, oh, I helped you, Samus, yes. And like editor's note, he did nothing.
He didn't do anything.
Like, stuff like that. It was like great. Like I'm like, this would be. I would totally read. I am reading it, but like as a kid, I would enjoy it a lot too. So
yeah. I thought those were so good. Just like the little like cheeky comments and stuff like that. They were fantastic.
But then Charizard shows up and I was like, what is happening in this? I'm already a couple pages in. I was already blown away by just the random stuff that was happening. Okay, Charizard was shocked me.
I'm glad it wasn't just me. Cause I was like that's Charizard, right? And like Blastoise, yeah. Like there's no way that's a quinky dink. Like yeah, that's
Charizard, Blastoise, and like Star Trek, like original Star Trek villains.
Good
like
stuff.
Who like William Shatner was like fighting against.
So, I mean, yeah, if you're going to steal from the best, right? You might as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, space pirates attack Liberty and Joey is about to get blown up from a well-timed save from Samus. And Samus is pretty cold in this depiction. Apparently too, this takes place between Super and Fusion is what I'm to understand here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, does it?
Yes, but like I still don't think it's supposed to be canonical, nothing like that. It's just that's the time frame where this is supposed to take place.
Okay. I don't necessarily agree with that unless there's some kind of objective facts, but
I
remember reading something, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At least from the story, and I guess my interpretation was wrong, but how I interpreted this story was the original Metroid happened, and then these events are happening, like this other timeline. Like there was no Super, there was no 2, there was no anything. It just seemed like the original events of Metroid happened, and then this stuff happened. So that was what I understood it, but maybe I'm wrong.
And to be fair, like there's nothing in the story that really suggests like this needs to take place after Super Metroid or after any of the games. I can't remember where I read it, but I know
at one
I read
point
it
in the story it references specifically Samus defeating Ridley and Mother Brain. So like we know that happens, but it doesn't say like oh it happened for the second time. You know, to insinuate it would be Super, but maybe it is.
So Samus gets the pirates to reveal the location of their base. She's pretty cold though towards old Joey, like even colder than I would think that she might be. Doesn't really care if this kid lives, but I think that's partially an act. There is a pretty cool panel though where this pirate is about to blast Joey with a missile, and Samus just like grabs it with her hands. Like that was pretty sweet.
Not just cool. I don't even know how physically possible like she was able to make that happen. I mean, they're the panel before the shot before, and the blaster is right up against this kid's head, and it's,
yeah.
And the next panel it's centimeters away, and Samus is able to react in time, fit her hand in that space, and grab it and crush it after showing up with the stance. Like I love how like Kitty is, and then the second like Samus shows up, it just gets like super violent, and like Samus is going crazy, and it's super high action and energy. Like I love the dichotomy of those two different tones. And yeah, that was pretty sick. That was pretty awesome when she did that. I was a big fan.
What's that Aeon ability she has in Samus Returns? It slows down time. That's the only explanation how she saved Joey.
Yeah.
I should remember the name of it. I can't, it's something shift. It's phase shift.
Yeah. Yeah. She used the phase shift. What did we think of the depiction of Samus? And maybe in like the first chapter or two, because to me, I know that like Samus is usually like a fairly business like cold kind of a character, but it seemed like it was ramped up a little bit here to me, where I was just kind of like, oh man, like Samus, I want you to to encourage this little guy here a little bit more. Did you guys have a problem with that at all, or what did you think?
There's definitely some other sections where I kind of raised my eyebrow. I think their very first encounter, I wasn't quite there yet. It's definitely a different depiction than we see like in the more modern games, and I would say even like the Metroid Prime games as well, because I feel like the Samus we get like nowadays is like what I like to call a compassionate badass, whereas this, I definitely did not feel like any sort of compassion from this depiction of Samus.
No.
Or if it was, it was very subconscious and definitely not projected forward.
I don't agree with that. I feel like we were reading different stories here. I mean, well, first of all, let's just be fair. This is literally her first appearance, and it's been two or three pages, so we can't be like, well, you know, she's being a little cold here. Like, well, yeah, she just showed up. Like, you got to give it a little time for the character to develop or show more of who they are, etc. On the other hand, definitely don't agree that she doesn't show any compassion. I mean, she spends a bunch of time in this story being like, dude, Joey, you can't come with me. You're like 5 years old. You're going to die. Like, obviously she's playing a little close to the edge here because she knows she can destroy these henchmen in the beginning. But like, it's definitely not true to say that like she's not showing any compassion forwardly at all in the story. I mean, there are a bunch of panels that are like dedicated to her specifically telling Joey that like he's not ready, can't come because it's dangerous, you're gonna die, don't want to deal with it, like try not to be responsible for your livelihood. All very fair and valid things, right? So I think just at this very moment, obviously she's not, but I think it's showing like she's that much stronger than these henchmen, that she can just completely control the battlefield, not at all worried, which is emphasized later when she's like, oh, that was just these scrubs. Like, when I actually fight the real space pirates, like, it's going to be a bigger deal. You can't just come with me. Like, these guys are nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, it actually, I'm going to be in danger, which is true. So I love this, actually, because it's not canon. And so why not have Samus go a little, like, more funny and on the edge and, you know, way more like swagger and ego, because it's meant to be more comedy. I like the Samus in like the Prime games. It's kind of stoic and just gets the job done. And I like in Dread how we see a little bit more of that personality and attitude and swagger when she's kind of like, you know, playing with Kraid a little bit, which, you know, she doesn't do as much in the previous game. She kind of just gets the job done. But I like this where it's kind of that meter is pushed all the way to the edge where she's so aware of how good she is that she's not worried, like completely, like, you know, one-liners and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I thought this was a lot of fun. I think she looks like super cool, has really good moves, just like in the original manga where she's just like a badass warrior. But it's funny the line she has and how she's just like kind of not robotic in a way, but just very like blunt and honest and just kind of, which is, I thought it was funny for this tone of story. I think it made a lot of sense. So I like her depiction of this a lot.
Like fair enough. And I agree with what you're like, she was right saying like, kid, you can't come with me. But I was reading it, and I was just like, damn, that's cold. Like, I don't really know what else I was looking for. Cause that is like pretty in line with her character for the Metroid series. But it struck me. I mean, again, not like a big deal, because I agree with her and Joey, I think he says later, like, I'm just a burden. And she's like, yeah, you are a burden. And it's like, well, you're not wrong. So like, I don't know, but it did stand out to me a little bit. All right, so Samus wipes. She totals these space pirates, and Joey's like, "I want to train with you. I want to come with you into space. I want to be your first disciple." And obviously she says, "No way." And so immediately after, Samus ends up fighting this wicked looking spider enemy called Daruba. And Samus is hesitant to use her super missiles, which I guess to your point, Dak, showing compassion there.
Doesn't want this kid to be blown away, because apparently in this, the super missile is like the strongest thing you could shoot at something. Like, it just is a nuke, essentially.
I like that.
I thought it was interesting. There's a lot of stuff in here. I was reading this. I was like, damn, if only I could do this in the games. Like, we passed over this when she's fighting these pirates. She does this like reflection attack or something, like they're all shooting at her and she perfectly either shoots everybody back without hitting the villagers or reflects all the bullets back perfectly at all the shooters and none of the villagers. I was like, whoa, where is this in the games? Like, let's get a little bit of that going on. Or this,
she got crazy, that perfect parry,
or like the power bomb she shoots from her arm cannon, where is that in the games? Let's get a little bit of that going on. So yeah, I she does show a little bit of compassion because she's like, hey, I gotta use this super missile against Daruba, who, by the way, I don't think he's the spider. He's the guy on the spider tank Digimon thing.
Oh, it's hard to tell.
He's a separate guy because there's a page where he's talking to Wart, Dragood or whatever, and he's like, let me go kill Samus. And the guy's like, oh, that's a great idea. I'd like that, Daruba. And you can tell he's like this, he's kind of this, I don't know, he's some lizard man.
It's almost like Starscream, it seems. Like, he's kind of a pathetic sort, and Samus makes short work of him.
Yeah, but when he shows up, he's like standing on the head of the spider tank enemy. You can see, if you look in, you can see he's kind of standing up there. So he's separate than the spider tank thing. Because then later, you can see the army, Daruba, what is his name? Oh my god.
Daruga? Is that Daruga? What we said it was?
Why, I have it, where is
it? Daragud.
Dragood.
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 Dragood. I don't know.
Because Dragood's army is made of a bunch of other spider tank things, both mechanized and not. So I think he's like a separate dude. He's like his Darth Vader kind of guy-ish, or like his own Ridley little dude. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, he shows up.
Yeah, well, I'm
kind of a random.
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
I was just gonna say, kind of a random aside, but like throughout the whole story, everyone refers to Samus as he. Even though Samus is constantly speaking, I have to imagine she's using a voice changer or something. But otherwise, I thought that was like,
Well, there is a note in the manga that says like her identity is still yet to be revealed. So,
point is like she's speaking. She has dialogue though. So,
so you're probably right. Her voice is probably distorted. I was going to bring that up later, but actually I'll just bring it up now because I thought that it was a bit strange, actually, that like I don't think it's strange that Joey and everyone doesn't know that Samus is like a woman. But I did think that it was a bit strange that like the way that the story, it almost seemed to me like they were saving that reveal for like a big like what kind of a moment. And I was like, I have to imagine everybody reading that already knows that. And like, I don't know, like maybe. I was just kind of like, why not just come out and have Samus say like right away, like I'm a woman. You don't have to keep on calling me like he or him or whatever. I thought that was a little bit weird.
Well, I guess it's meant to be played as like dramatic irony here. Like we know, but the characters don't know. But I think it's also I never like, at least to me, like, yeah, they're all calling him he. But like it was more to me that they just didn't know what Samus's identity is, so they were just defaulting to that. I don't know, but I mean obviously I don't think it was obviously meant for to be a reveal to the audience. It was supposed to be a reveal to, you know, Joey, who is, you know, looking at Samus as like a compatible relation to his father, who was a man. So he's like, oh, this is Samus, a bounty hunter, a strong warrior like my father. I want to be a strong man like this Samus is, just assuming because he's a child and doesn't know any better, and all the villagers are dumb idiots who don't know how to defend themselves, so like what do they know? And she probably has some kind of thing, and so yeah, I definitely kind of feel, at least as far as I read, was like it's meant to be like a dramatic irony kind of thing for the characters, not the audience.
These really are like the prototype like NPC villagers where it's like something's happening, save us somebody, and they stand around waiting for someone to do
one
something.
Of them, I think, I literally says we can't defend ourselves. Like I thought that was great.
Yeah, one of them said that like we can't call for help, the space pirates destroyed our cars or something like that.
Hey, that's when you got no cars, that's valid. It's a bad scene. Okay, chapter two. Terrible bioweapon. So chapter one just ends and Joey's like blast him away, Samus, and and that's how it ends.
You're skipping over a little bit, just real quick. Joey thinks he has some value on the battlefield because he can run around really fast and distract the space pirates. Samus poses before the fight, really cool. And then Joey's like, oh yeah, let me help out, and then super missile, blah blah blah, and then all right, chapter two,
terrible bioweapons. And you're right, by the way, Joey has these like, he has these like little rollers in his shoes.
It's like roller blades, linear rollers or something he calls them.
Well, like you used to see it like all the time, like years ago. I feel like the fads died now, but like kids would have like the little wheels in their shoes and they'd wheel around everywhere.
Heelys.
Heelys. Yeah.
You gotta bring it back.
Well, yeah, you're definitely like 15, 20 years too late on that, bud.
Yeah, I know. Which is unfortunate, because I think I would have enjoyed myself some...
Well, he doesn't have just... He has some sick shoes. He doesn't just have Heelys. He has full, like, rollerblades. It's like three wheels in there.
Hold on. So somehow... it's Heely, right? Not wheelie? It's Heely?
No, like the heel of your foot. Heely.
Right, okay. I gotcha.
It's, but that's just one... Do they not have those in Canada?
No, they have them. I see kids like rolling around on them all
the time.
It's
like an American thing. Okay, I don't know. But anyway, like, it's just one wheel, but he has three wheels. And he not only has three wheels, he has like these like gripper claw, like velociraptor talons on the front of his feet, which are like very strong because he can use them to climb like rock faces. So very cool. Want a pair of those.
You know what they call a Heely with three wheels? A Threely. Dead right. silence.
I'm not Let's even move on. Golf
so Let's move on. Chapter two. Okay. So you're at, I wanted to shout this out. I'm glad that you already did. I cackled at that line where the editor's like, Joey didn't do anything. I thought that was so good.
Yeah.
also, so we spend a little bit of time getting to with Draugud. I thought that the Metroids looked awesome. They show these wicked illustrations of Metroids. They look fantastic. But Draugud has a more sinister weapon that he is creating called the Megaroid.
The Megaroid.
I love that. That was so awesome. You know,
that was awesome. That was awesome. What is going on in your brain? I don't understand how you see like that and you're like, whoa, that's sick.
It was just so weird. And actually, like, I think you may have cracked the code for me, because when you said like the intro, when it had all the characters like a cartoon intro, I was like, yeah, that is it. Like, that's pretty much exact. When I think of it as like a dumb, goofy, like cartoon, I feel like I enjoy it a lot more. And the Megaroids
This was funny. This was funny because it's like, I'll make the Megaroid. It just like a brain in a diamond. I was like, is that what it is? Like, that's it.
It was so good.
Well, you could clearly tell that the artist, who is fantastic, by the way, was like, I'm not drawing Metroids this whole dang manga. Absolutely not. I'm going to draw a fleshy bulbous orb in a nice geometric shape that is easy to draw on each page.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, smart. We can use those shapes. So that was what I thought was funny. It was like almost like a clear, like, I'm not drawing Metroids. Screw that. They are way too detailed, and I'm just going to call it a Megaroid. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Megaroid. I love this. It's such a silly idea that I loved it. Although I do want to point out, so Joey's continually trying to get Samus to take him under his wing, and he says something along the lines of like, I'll do anything on the battlefield. I'm not afraid to die, blah, blah, blah. And Samus has a great line where she's like, you're not afraid to die? Someone who doesn't worry about dying in the future won't fight for his life in the present.
Bars.
That was a good line.
Yeah.
Bars.
That was a good line.
There was also another line I like, what, whoever you point a gun at will point one back.
Mm.
Like, true. Mm-hmm. Facts. That's facts.
There's like something Snake would say to Raiden in like MGS2.
Yes.
Like, she was just letting him fly. And I also think I love this kid's just like tenacity of like, I will die for the cause. I'm like, buddy, you were running around and attacking small animals near a windmill about 30 minutes ago. Let's pump the brakes and just figure out what you want here. But I love it. He's so down. Everyone needs someone like this in their life where you can just be like, hey, I need to bury a body. And they're like, boom, I'm in. Like, you know, like you just like you need someone who's always yes. Yeah. Who's a ride or die. Joey's ride or die. I love this kid. He's with it. Even though Samus is like, you're going to literally die, kid. He's like, let's send it, boys. Let's do it.
I'll tell you what.
To me, Joey is the kid that like played way too much Call of Duty when he was too young. He's going to be like, I want to be that guy someday. That's to me is what Joey
played
is.
Played too much Metroid. And he's like, I literally want to be Samus.
I mean, who wouldn't? I want to be Samus. If either of you two ever need help in the waste management, you know, I'd be down for you guys. I would do that. Just FYI. All right. Let's keep on going here. So we got, as mentioned, Joey is still really trying to sell himself to Samus. And, you know, Samus is rightfully saying, you are a burden. So what happens is that Samus is just like, all right, enough. Like, I'm leaving. And Joey ends up going back to the mothership of the space pirates, which is still by this village. And let me know if I missed anything here. Because I felt like I did, because all of a sudden he has this like lizard disguise. And I was like, where did he get that?
Okay, so I missed that at first. So here's just for anyone who's just kind of listening, here's like what's happened, right? Like when these space pirates landed on the planet, it's like a barren just wasteland. They're just desert, except there's like a big volcano. I mean, there's a bunch of mountains, whatever, but there's this mountain nearby, and that's where the space pirates landed, on the top of this like volcano mountain or whatever. And then they came, and then they sent like a scout force, I guess, to the town, and that's what Samus just destroyed or whatever. Samus is now going to the top of that mountain to deal with the space pirates who are all landed on, you know, Dragood and whatever. They're all hanging out up there. And that's, Joey is now chasing them down. They're like going up the mountain and like approaching at the same time-ish, you know? Like Samus is attacking the army, like outright. Like there's this big army sitting on the plateau or like the crater of the volcano, whatever it is. And that's where all the spider tanks are and all the space pirates are. And Samus is going in and attacking them directly. And while that's happening simultaneously, Joey has made it up the mountain using his crazy Healy gripper shoes.
He's got three little claws that come out the front of his boots. It's pretty cool.
That's what I'm saying, the little claws. Yeah. So he's able to get up there, and he's, while he's running through the army that Samus is like fighting, or that's like preparing to fight Samus, he runs over and slips on like a molted skin of one of the space pirates, because the space pirates are lizards or in this. So they're shedding their like big lizard skin. And so he finds the lizard skin on the ground and uses that as a disguise to make his way through the army unseen. That's what happens.
Yes, I did miss it. It was a little bit hard to follow, I think, in that particular sequence. But he does indeed get a disguise, which is important, because this guy is about to do some reconnaissance, some undercover reconnaissance here. And he meets Blastoise inside the mothership, by the way, which is pretty cool.
Blastoise. Yep.
So Joey's infiltrating the mothership. However, eventually his disguise falls off and he is captured, but not before the Megaroid breaks out and this thing starts attacking everything. And somehow our man, Joey, and this is great, he captures the Megaroid using a rug that has been fashioned to like a stick, basically. And he like kind of like almost uses it as like a bug net to catch the Megaroid. And he has this thing, which... a little bit of ingenuity. Joey's proving his worth. We'd like to see it.
Literally going jellyfishing like he's in SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Like that's what happens, right, dude?
So I love how these are like tests of like our reading comprehension and whether or not we understood what happened. So what I understood was he gets caught by the space pirates because his skin gets caught in the elevator, whatever. He gets revealed. The Megaroid, which is now like a big crystalline
ball thing,
rock. I don't know. It's like a big crystal rock or something, which again, much easier to draw than a Metroid. Starts going crazy and like attacking stuff, right?
Yeah.
While it's doing that, it flies away. He knows where it is. He doesn't have it, but he needs to like alert Samus. So he finds the rug and he uses that as like a flag to get her attention, to be like, hey, it's over here. Because that's when she then zooms in on him and you can see that he's like flapping it around. It doesn't, at least what I'm looking at and what I read, it doesn't look like he has it. It's just he is like, hey, I have it, as in like it's here, not like he literally has it in the thing.
Yeah, you know what? You may be right.
That could be it.
I'm just rereading right now. Obviously, our reading comprehension is not very good.
Somebody's is. Somebody's is good. Somebody's is not. And that's what we're trying to figure out here.
No, I think I can agree. I don't know if he ends up.
Yeah, because if you go to the next chapter, the thing is attacking everybody, and he doesn't have it. He doesn't have the thing. He's there. It's attacking everybody, and then it blasts through the ship. Like, he doesn't have control of the thing.
Okay, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to see. Like, again, this is why I don't... And I'm not trying to make excuses for my own bad reading comprehension. That this would be bad no matter what. But I do have an easier time like following along, particularly in action sequences, if you got just like a little splash of color, which is why I kind of tend to gravitate away from manga. But nevertheless, we're now out of chapter 2, we're into chapter 3, which is a magnificently titled chapter called Multiply Megaroid. And you know, one thing that I actually wanted to point out, speaking of some issues that I have with manga, and it's not all manga, because not all mangas do this, but in this one in particular, I think that it's kind of like weird a little bit that we're going for like this early Saturday morning cartoon kind of vibe, but then like you kind of have like a constant barrage of like cuss words that particularly Joey is saying, and I feel like you don't necessarily need those. And I don't mean to sound like an old prude or anything like that. I think cussing in a game is fine. It just seems a little bit out of place in this particular story. Do you have any thoughts about that statement?
I feel like that's more of just a cultural differences, because Japanese comics or in manga in this case are generally more lax when it comes to swearing,
right.
You know, compared to like us and like, you know, Europe and stuff like that. And this is, and again, you know, we discussed this back during the original Metroid manga, but this is a one-to-one literal translation. It's not a localization that's, you know, more adapted to, like, you know, the English language and whatnot. Right. And so because of that, you have, like, a lot of those, you know, leftover cuss words. I mean, you literally, the very first word Joey says is just, like, spread out.
And by the way, yeah. Joey here in page 28 says, "I've got the life sucker under control." I think that's why I thought he had the thing.
Page 28?
Yeah, chapter two.
In chapter two.
Yeah, so obviously that's not accurate.
Well, hold on. Now I'm going back here because now we gotta get.
Maybe it was like a catch and release.
No, it isn't. No. You're saying,
He might just be saying that he's got the situation under control. I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, because you can see it says flap, and like you can see the tiger thing open. It's not like it's curled over and tied together. It's only tied on one end. I don't think he has control over it, because then in the next chapter you can see it's breaking through the ship, but here he's on the outside of the ship because he's out trying to notify Samus. Anyway, to get back to your other point, no, I think the cursing and like having it, like that kind of stuff, I think is fine. I think it actually works to the benefit of the story, because going back to what I was saying earlier, you have that dichotomy of it's just a little kid. Like, you're not going to see him like get like gored open or anything like that. But there is that mixture of like the kiddie kind of comedy and the actual full on sci-fi violence. And I think to help bridge that gap tonally, you kind of have Joey curse here and there and maybe be a bit more mature for his age. So that way he kind of fits a bit more into like Samus is maiming these space pirates and blowing up these tanks nearby. Whereas if he was like very kiddy and talked like a kid and wasn't mature and didn't curse, he would feel a lot more out of place, and would kind of feel a little, maybe a little uncomfortable even to kind of see him in situations where here he's like, he's this rambunctious, like shonen hero and whatnot. Like he's, you know, he's in a curse a little bit, like he's out there to save the day. So I think it kind of tonally helps fit in with the stuff that Samus is doing. So I think it definitely is to the benefit of the story. I think it definitely fits, and again, I like the vibes of that, where like it has that Saturday morning cartoon and he's running alongside Samus and it's ridiculous and he's trying to be part of it, and but it adds still a lot of this really hype detail action that hooks you in too. So I like it. I'm a fan.
I don't know, it just doesn't sit right with me, but a minor gripe here. The next couple of panels, like the next couple of pages rather, it lost me a little bit here. There's a great action scene where like basically Samus and Joey are taking on the Megaroids. There's a bunch of other pirates. I don't know.
Space pirates use the Cody Vader to come up out of the ship. Did you not pop for that? For the space pirates coming out of the Cody Vader? Sorry, I thought that was funny.
I feel like kind of going back to what I was saying. Although I did pop big time when Joey was using the rug as like a cape. That was sweet.
The Super Mario World Mario.
Yeah, exactly. I just action sequences in manga. And again, like this is just me. And you know, I'm just like dumb old North American here. But they're not my favorite. Action sequences in manga aren't my favorite. I don't feel that they're super digestible. So this kind of lost me for a little bit over the next couple of pages here, especially like when the Megaroid breaks into like the million different monsters, like the little things from Spirited Away or whatever. I was like, there's a lot going on here. It's almost like too much, like sensory overload for me.
Yeah, I actually felt like this was like a lot easier to follow than the original manga, because like the characters are like spelling out literally everything that's happening as it happens, like in for comedic effect, but also like there's almost no like lack of legibility of what's happening. Maybe sometimes it doesn't necessarily like make sense, maybe from coming from like a Metroid fan perspective of like, why is she doing this? Why is she shooting power bombs out of her arm cannon or something like that? But like in terms of what's actually happening, I feel like it was pretty easy to follow. Like, okay, the Megaroid's absorbing all the energy. It becomes so big because it absorbs so much energy. And then, I mean, the chapter's called Multiply Megaroid. So I had a feeling once it got really big, it's going to want to get really small somehow and multiply. And it apparently wanted that to happen, or Samus allows that to happen, or whatever it is. So yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty kind of, I don't know. I thought it was kind of easy to follow. I mean, again, obviously you're like, they're trying to convey a lot.
It's not like it's not easy to follow. Like there's stuff happening. It's just like, it just feels like a lot of like random, like, I guess what I'm saying is like, there's a lot of stuff happening. There's a lot of stuff on the panels, and it's just like, okay, like, well, maybe let's take a step back. Like what's going on in the overall, like, first of all, like, where are we? Are we outside? Like, is the Megaroid? I don't know. I just, there's too much. And I was just kind of like tuning out a little bit, you know? Doom,
yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I didn't have much of a problem reading it. It felt like, and to be fair as well, you know, the story here, I feel like the story that's trying to be told in like the original manga, there's definitely a lot more depth there and a lot more nuance with the characters. This is, again, this is like a basic Saturday morning cartoon story.
Very simple episode.
It's very point A to point B. Kill bad guy. Mm-hmm. Go here. Kill new bad guy. Etc.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think when you look at it in all of its parts, like, it definitely, I think it does a fine enough job to like keep you understanding of where you're at. Like, anytime you're outside, like, the rocks are detailed and you can see that it's ground and you're not standing in a ship. Whenever someone leaves this, like, a ship, like Samus is going through a huge hole in the wall and you see her land on the ground, or there's an open door behind her. So I think it does, like, it shows the transition from location to location pretty well. Like when the Megaroid attacks, like, it very clearly is coming through the ship, because there's tons of metal being thrown into the air and whatnot, that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, I get it, like, because like you can't it's not like animated, like you gotta convey a lot of action and movement through still imagery, which is, you know, not easy, and that's what, you know, a lot of the talent goes into. But because I think it's because it's so basic and like the characters are like telling you what's happening and there's only two possible locations you could possibly be in. When you kind of put those things together in your brain and not like maybe try to like scramble, like, what's going on? Just like look at it. Like, well, what do you think's going on? And usually what your first guess is, that's what it is. Like, this looks like a bunch of crystals attacking these ships in midair. Well, that's what's happening because the big Megaroid is a big crystal and it's attacking through the ship and blah, blah.
Yeah,
that's kind of where I was at. Like, there's a few individual panels. There's a few individual panels where it's like, I can't quite tell what's going on. But like when you put them together as a whole, I felt like it was generally like easy enough to like piece, you know, the general outline. And again, because this is so basic, like a general outline is kind of the main plot of this whole thing.
But like, I loved when the Megaroid bursted out and it like almost looked like Metroid Prime a little bit. It kind of had like an Evangelion kind of look to it and like this big scary demon face and branches crystalling out all over the place and skewering Charizards left and right.
That was pretty cool. The super missile shot was awesome, actually.
Yeah, like a lot of like that's one thing about Metroid mangas, like almost regardless of what the story is, at least across the two we're watching or reading, the art is fantastic. Like, especially the wide shots, like the big landscape shots are great.
It's tough, right? Because like you're working with a set of limitations in manga to convey your story. And I think my complaint of like there's a lot of stuff going on just kind of goes back to like I wish that there was like, maybe it's just as simple as like I just wish that there was like a little bit more color to help kind of help me along, just kind of decipher and digest what we're seeing. Because I do think
it's Metroid anime so bad.
I do. That would be awesome. Where is it? Like,
I agree.
I don't know. We got the Vania Metroid. Like, why not? So yeah, lots of cool action panels here. They did like a little bit start to blend together for me, but so eventually Samus does, she nails that Megaroid with a super missile, which is actually pretty cool because they give you some like some explanation of how like she heated it or cooled it and then heated it and whatever, and it caused it to break into like a million little Megaroids who like are these energy starved like little parasitic creatures. I actually really dig this idea, like, and I would be totally down to see this come into like a mainline Metroid game where it's like smaller versions that like swarm and overwhelm you. I thought that was actually kind of cool. Almost like a Phazon could move in a way, like I don't know, like the little bugs or something. I thought it was a very cool idea, but these villagers are dead in the water. These guys are toast. They got nothing going on for them. They're about to be eaten, but Joey shows up and he has got, I thought it was a jetpack at first, but it's like a couple of torches.
It's a space torch.
This kid.
Specifically a space torch that he finds on a space pirate ship, I think.
Yes. Which is awesome. This kid won me over actually a little bit, because this kid is just so crazy and so wild that he really doesn't care if he lives or dies. He's just like, I'm going to save the village. I thought that this was a great panel.
You think he's powerful? Now just wait till he discovers the power of friendship. He's going to be so OP, you have no idea.
Well, that's if Samus ever wants to become his friend. But yeah, this is that's the end to the chapter 3 here. And it wasn't my favorite chapter of the book, but I thought that it was still strong, like individually, like panel wise. Like I thought that there was a lot of like individually really cool looking art. Just the flow of it was a little lacking for me.
I had a couple thoughts real quick on this. Yeah, Joey showing his worth, burning. I'd have to imagine his forehead and singeing his hairs with literal like torches and flares taped to him. I was getting, if anyone remembers this episode of Jimmy Neutron, where he has to fight the viruses, that's what those little Megaroids looked like to me. So I thought that was fun. Also, there's a tower, like a clock tower in the village with like a half moon that looks like the moon from Soul Eater, that anime. If you ever watched the anime Soul Eater, it looks like that moon from that. So I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Anyway, this was very like shonen, like, kid's going to save the day. He's going to save the village. Very tropey, you know, not surprised. I mean, I love it. It's like, he was almost going like Attack on Titan on them, like him going across the rooftops with his like all he's holding those torches, like the blades. And I'm like, oh my God, Attack on Titan. I was like, this is crazy. I will say there were definitely a bunch of moments reading this where I was like, oh, this is sick. Like, I'm like, oh, this like just got like a nice visceral reaction because it was either awesome or funny or both. So, like, that's something that I appreciate about this, that, like, it wasn't taking itself too seriously. And I think that's fine, you know? Like, obviously, for whatever reason, these manga stories love this, like, setup. This is, like, the same setup as the other Metroid manga, right? Like, these space pirates harassing some random villagers and Samus shows up, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I like that in this one. It's like, yeah, whatever. Samus is, like, a little more, you know, cold and quippy and... this kid's running around with Heelys and torches and like, yeah, you know, it's, I like that it's not taking itself too seriously and playing with some, you know, pretty fundamental tropes to keep the story going. So yeah, those are my only call outs there. Pretty decent otherwise.
All right. You want to move on to chapter 4 here? Doom, any thoughts that did you want to get out of you?
I pretty much said everything I needed to. Let's go on to chapter 4.
Chapter 4, Joey's secret plan. So Joey has these torches. And he has a pretty dang good plan. So he starts off using the torches to lead away all of the mini Megaroids, the mini roids. Pretty
mini Megaroids,
the mini Megas, yes,
mini Megas.
So he's just like he does the Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park where he's trying to lure the T-Rex away with the flare gun. So he's luring them all away, and he comes up with a plan to eventually lure them to a volcano, the one singular volcano on the planet, which. Pretty good idea, pretty quick thinking on the spot, actually. At the same time, Samus, and we should mention too, I skipped over this, Samus was overwhelmed by by the mini Megaroids, so she was, I actually kind of thought that Samus was like, they absorbed her and then took her with her, but I think she just stayed in the same spot, is that right?
I think they were busy like absorbing her energy while she was like
passed out.
There,
yeah,
and then she like
She hulked up, brother.
Yeah.
And she made her comeback. And then she's on the prowl again, and you know that she's probably gonna have a an altercation with the Megaroids and Joey. But so Joey gets this volcano, and there's no lava. Big problem in his plan. And I felt so bad for this guy. I was like, that was a really smart plan. Like 5 pages later, it's like, oh, dude.
I like that little addendum, how they go to the flashback where of his like grandpa going, it was just a story. Like that was another great, like editor style note there.
it's very charming the way that like the editor's note comes into play here. So Joey leads him to this volcano, which does not have lava in it. And he's thinking that his final minutes might be up here. But, of course, we get Samus. She comes in with another last-minute save and lays a power bomb. She shoots the power bomb?
She's shooting power bombs, and then they're time... Well, obviously, all power bombs are time, but like they're like enhanced time bombs is what she says. But she's very clearly firing them from her arm cannon.
Yeah.
Even though she hasn't used the morph ball yet, but she can do it later. But she doesn't do it here. She just shoots the power bomb. And then as the power bombs are exploding, which I guess so the idea was she's using the power bombs to like open up the cooled lava crust of like the top of the volcano. And then as that's being disrupted, she fires a super missile to kind of kickstart the volcano, get some volcanic energy going, and get it to finally erupt. So that was what I understood what happened.
Man, that would be so awesome in a Metroid game to have like sticky bombs or something that you could then ignite that would blow up the environment around you. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome. In pretty cool panel here. Actually, I meant to shout out and I forgot I think that the cover for Chapter 4 with Samus's helmet and all the Miniroids and the torches and Joey, I think it looks really, really good. I think this is my favorite cover of the bunch, particularly Samus's helmet. It just looks so like sleek and so so great. The artwork is phenomenal in this manga. We got the big explosion and all the Megaroids, I do believe, just go right into the trap. They go into the volcano and
easy.
All she wrote. I really liked the moment after where Joey's kind of have like he has a moment of like self-reflection. He's like, maybe I'm not ready. Maybe I'm not like a whatever. And Samus finally is just like, you know what? You did well. I thought that was a really sweet moment that felt earned because of how cold Samus had been to our point earlier in the manga here. It was a nice moment.
Yeah, Doom, what do you think?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a very, very entertaining chapter. Again, I don't know. I'll get to my opinions on Samus later, but yeah.
I will say here, if I were the writer, I thought missed opportunity to have a little more comedy. When that volcano went off and everyone's like, yeah, you saved the village. I'm like, that thing is erupting very close in proximity to your village. And it is not just, it's erupting. It's not just dribbling lava. It is throwing rocks miles into the air. I'm like, I was almost waiting for them to be like, uh-oh, we just made a bigger problem. They had to like save everybody. And I thought that would have been funny, but that would have been cool. But I like that. Joey kind of has this like heart to heart with his dad because he finds like a letter, which like, if I were the dad, I would have maybe left that on the kitchen counter and not, you know, dug
buried on his grave.
Buried on his grave. Yeah. And then it says is shoot for the stars and you will become strong through your own strength. And I'm like, dude, facts. Why didn't I think of that? Strength through your own strong through your own strength. Like, bro. Totally.
Which is funny because he gives him a weapon to make him stronger. So not really through his own strength at all.
Yeah. Yeah, but don't worry about that. Yeah. But, yeah. I did like that, like, the whole thing was, you know, Joey's so obsessed with, like, I want to become strong like my father. Like, the way for me to do that is to go with Samus and tag along and be brought along, whereas he needed to realize that he has to do it on his own and he needs to go out and set out on his own, which ends up resulting in him going off with Samus anyway because Samus is like, well, this kid's going to get himself killed and he's going to go to space one way or another, so I might as well help him out. So there's a good moment where he's like calls Samus a cheapskate.
Because she won't take him. That was good.
Samus immediately
and Samus basically is like, you what, mate?
Into the planet and lands and is like, what? And she's like, yeah,
that was
let's
awesome.
Go.
Who's cheap? That was awesome.
Yeah. So that was a great ending. I thought that was fun because it was like a nice little fun story. Like, again, this like these four chapters were like, this was a nice, perfect, like 22-minute Saturday morning cartoon TV episode pilot. Like, I would be so ready. Like, honestly, if this was like an episode for a show, like, I'd be like, all right, sign me up. 15, 20 episodes of like episodic, not like,
yeah,
because every TV show has to do this now where it's all like one story across multiple episodes in a season. Like, give me an episodic show again where like each a nice, solid, concise story in each episode. This would be perfect for it. And this is like a perfect setup for it.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm almost bummed that like there isn't a lot more of, I actually can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually am bummed that there isn't a lot more of what I know that there is, because I know there's only so many volumes. I'm like, oh man, that's all, it could be so many stories. I'm like, I'd be down for a lot of stories with these two. So maybe they were, maybe all these, you know, Samus and Joey fans were right all along. But when at this point, when like this four chapters ended, I was like, that was a nice solid story right there. A nice episode, a little, you know, four chapters, boom, that like I would have loved to see more of. So I'm glad that there is more, but I wish there was even more.
You're right on the money. Where like weekly episodic adventures, like a new,
yeah,
a new different bad guy or thing,
the new
every
Samus
week.
Samus adventures.
Yeah. Here's a recommendation for everybody. I just finished what I've talked about the show a lot, but it's one of my most beloved shows. It's called Reboot, and I watched it when I was a kid, and I still watch it, and it's like a perfect blend. Like you said, most of it is episodic, but kind of when you get towards the end, then it does turn a little bit into like one overarching story and gets a little, mm-hmm, little darker. But it's a really good show if anyone's looking for similar vibes to this. And I bring that up because I actually finished it last night. So, yeah, that's you pretty much nailed all that. I thought that the ending of chapter 4 was really sweet. Samus does indeed come back and take Joey into space. And by the way, the artwork on Samus's ship just looks awesome. It's oh, yeah, literally the Super Metroid ship rendered. It looks great.
That's a good point, actually. She is pretty much like, even though as far as I know, at least for what I could tell, it seems like it only takes place after the original Metroid, but her ship and Samus, like, and like even Ridley, like, are Super Metroid variants of that.
Yeah.
So
they look great. So yeah, that's and it almost feels like it should be the end of the first volume, but we actually do, yeah, have one more chapter. So this chapter is called Father's Memento Field Knuckle. So Joey get some old gloves that belong to his dad, and these are indeed the field knuckles, and they are, I don't know, like an exoskeleton kind of gimmick, would you call them?
Yeah, I guess they're like, I'm trying to remember, they're, because they're in the box that his dad gives him,
yeah,
with the letter, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So they're, because they're going through the Federation and going to like the junk shop. Did they establish by then that what his gloves are, or is that the right at the beginning of the chapter?
It's right at the beginning. I might have skipped a little bit here. Actually, and I should back up because yeah, they are going to the space station, and the space station looks awesome. Yeah. I think the space station might be the coolest panel in the entire volume one. It looks awesome. Looks really cool. And so Diesel is the character that is at the space station, and Diesel is a mechanic, and Samus's plan is to leave Joey with Diesel, not to pawn him off, but she's like, you know, I come here a lot, like, I'm gonna leave you with him, get your bearings. But they get to the space station, and they find out that the space station has actually been taken over by a new occupant named Jealousy, who I just, that's just such a bad name. Such a bad name for a villain. Am I alone in that? You guys are okay
with Jealousy?
I mean, it's not a good name, but it's not the worst I've ever heard.
Oh, man.
It's like, this guy would not like Full Metal Alchemist, clearly.
You know, I did try and watch a few episodes, and I couldn't get through it.
Well, the original or Brotherhood?
The original.
Oh, well, you should try Brotherhood. Okay, though, to be honest, I think the original and Brotherhood are kind of similar towards the beginning, but Brotherhood's better. But,
I didn't get through it, but because I didn't like it, by the way. I don't know why I stopped watching it. It was pretty cool.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, again, like, you're coming in here like, is jealousy a good name or not? I'm like, this guy's name could be Captain Crunch. Like, it doesn't matter, you know? Like, it's like, exactly,
be
silly. Yeah.
I'll be tight.
Yeah, but like, you know, like, okay, his name's Jealousy. It's like, ah, yeah, sure, why not? Like, I mean, this little floating guy's name is Diesel. I mean, I guess that makes sense for a junk thing, but I'm thinking he's like Kevin Nash. Like, I don't know. So I think it actually works because his character design, he's like some demon thing. So like,
his character design is awesome. I think some, Jealousy like, demon looks name. Sweet.
Like, yeah, I think it works. I think it's fine. Well, he's supposed to be named Steve or something. Like, I don't know.
I mean, Jealousy. Like, what are we doing?
It's
Steve Austin. Yeah, why not?
It's provocative. It gets people going. We're here talking about it. So
I guess you're not wrong. We are talking
his
about it.
His name could be like Dark Matter, and we would be like, well, whatever. Isn't that a Kirby villain? Dark Matter.
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy. I don't know. Page 8, by the way, on the Metro database, Joey and Samus comic, chapter 5. Jealousy's just sitting down. He's cross-legged. He's got his big shark horns. He's like smoking a cigarette. This guy looks awesome. So that's why I'm just like, this guy deserves a cool name. That Jealousy's not a cool name. But let's continue here. So Jealousy has taken over the space station and is just like, listen, we're under new ownership here, and you're not getting this kid isn't staying here if you think so. And so what happens then is Jealousy's kind of like, all right, I've got this bodyguard named what's his name, Bombad, and he's like, go fight Samus. And it seems like the bodyguard Bombad kind of doesn't really like Jealousy that much, because he's like, this is gonna cost you. Bombad also looks awesome, by the way. He looks like this cool robot human hybrid thing, like an eyeball in the center of his helmet. Fantastic design. I love this design. And him and Samus have a pretty cool fight.
They do. I do think it's funny how like the bad guy has a bodyguard and not the guy who probably needs it the most, this like floating orb man.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, he probably should have been hiring this cyborg Gundam guy, Voltron dude. But yeah, they have a cool fight. They're like doing the JoJo like fist thing at each other, and it's cool because he's like, we're not gonna use any of those fancy weapons. And Sam is like, all right, I guess I gotta throw hands with this guy. Meanwhile, Joey is saving
Diesel.
The little dude, Diesel. Yeah. Diesel. Yep.
Nice little.
He doesn't
running
realize
gay.
That it's Diesel. He doesn't. He thinks it's his pet.
Yes, yes.
Which, to be fair, it's just like a head and like in a little Mysterio fishbowl. So like, I might like think the same.
It's a little Tamagotchi.
Yeah. Although I guess to on the other side of that, there's like all kinds of weird alien life. So like, you probably shouldn't be surprised if you see like a weird little floating head. But yeah. So Joey saves Diesel. I'm skipping ahead a little bit here, but so Joey saved Diesel. Samus and Bombad have like a pretty sweet fight. And then, yeah, so Joey actually rescues Diesel, actually, rather, using...
He uses the field knucks.
Pretty cool stuff.
They're like, it's not like an exoskeleton, but it's like these...
It's like a pack that goes on your back that augments your
it
knuckles?
Makes it so like his like fists are like... unbreakable and like not like he can just punch blades because they won't cut him or whatever, which I thought it was funny because he's like, I've watched my dad use these all the time, and I'm like, why are you sitting around not looking for these for years? I would have been spending all my time as an orphan child on this planet looking for these powerful things instead of messing around and hitting cows on the head. Like, you know they exist. But anyway, yeah, he puts on the power knuckles and he like charges up, and now he can just punch people and kick them and not be safer because he's a child and we don't want to see his arms get cut off. So
yes. Eventually Bombad kind of breaks the code of honor here and starts using some other weapons, and Samus finishes him off with I don't know what it is. She goes into morph ball form, and then she nails him with a super missile. Give me a second. I'm gonna re-review what exactly happens here. But pretty cool fight sequence, I thought, all in all.
So he like uses a so Joey uses like the like a field or something, like a reflector field, and I think that's what gets Gundam Man to be like, oh, we're using weapons now, and like. They start fighting each other, and then he has this like shoulder beam, like his shoulder opens up, and he uses like a gravity bomb or gravity beam or something.
Yes, that's it.
and that like blows stuff up, and then Samus is like goes into morph ball mode, and the Gundam guy goes, "The sphere!" And, on page 25, it's 169, but it's page 25. He goes, the sphere! And it's the morph ball ability. Samus can transform into a sphere, even though she has not done that yet, but she can now morph ball, and she doesn't really like, I don't know what she does with it. She kind of just turns into the morph ball.
She turns into morph ball, and I think she smokes him with a super missile. By the way, yes. I actually made a note. Thank you for giving me the name. The gravity bomb would be another wicked item in a Metroid game. Like, that would be so cool if you could shoot something and like have it suck up debris, or I don't know, whatever. But that seems like a really, really cool item to put into the series.
I 100% agree. I think they need to start mining the manga for more ideas.
Yeah,
for the games.
They should put Bombad.
Give Samus some Heelys.
Yeah, put Bombad in there. And Bombad smokes Jealousy, by the way. I'm pretty sure he destroys him right there, because he's like, dang, I'm not getting paid again. Little Cowboy Bebop.
Well, I think the gravity bomb takes him out, right?
Exactly, yeah. So he smokes his own employer. He didn't really like this guy. No, nobody liked Jealousy all that much, I don't think.
They were jealous.
No one was jealous of him.
Or they weren't. I guess we'll see.
Oh boy. Dead silence for three, Lee, but jealous, both dueling jealousy jokes here. All right. So Samus leaves Joey with the newly rescued Diesel, and Diesel's kind of a hard character. I actually, tell me if you guys agree with this. I picked up some real like Watto Anakin Skywalker energy from this relationship.
Oh, 100%. Oh, literally that's 100% what that is. Yeah.
Lots of comedic gold, I think, to be mined there going forward. This was like more of a kind of a let up chapter. Lots of levity, stuff like that. So I just called him Watto. Diesel's like, I'm gonna work this kid to the bone. Samus leaves, and that's it. That's how we wrap it up.
So that's what I wanted to bring up from earlier. My thing on Samus. I laughed so hard after that. So this guy is like, "Oh, I'm gonna work you to the bone, you 10-year-old child." And Samus is like, "I have fun, like, bro, what?"
I guess character. If you're gonna go to space, then yeah, you gotta pay some dues, as it were.
Samus is pro child labor.
And so Dak, you'd mentioned the Metroid Fusion stuff. It's really just kind of like a recap of what you see in Metroid Fusion.
It's not even a recap of Fusion. It's just the recap of the beginning cutscene of the game. And not even the whole cutscene. It's just most of it. And
yeah,
it's I guess meant to be like a lead in to Fusion, even though it had already come out by then, or maybe it hadn't. Maybe it was about to come out, because I think this runs from 2002 to 2004, but maybe it had just come out. I don't know. But yeah, I just skimmed through it, and it's literally just retelling the cutscene, so it's nothing new. But it looks cool. Looks really awesome.
It does look cool, yeah. Not really relevant to anything going on here, but worth like a couple minutes. It's only a couple pages, too.
Completely unrelated, but yeah.
I kind of wish there was a full Fusion manga, because I agree, like, the imagery there and, like, the drawings are, like, really cool. And it actually goes just a little past that cutscene. It goes up until the Arachnus fight, and then it just kind of ends there.
You're right.
And unfortunately, like, because I skimmed the other volumes, and it doesn't seem like they really continued that story. It looks like that was just a one-off for that Fusion section, which is unfortunate.
Well, I mean, it says that this, if I'm looking at, like, when this actually dropped, like, apparently these came out in January of 2003, like, this volume.
Right.
So it's only a couple months after Fusion dropped, so I would imagine that, like, they were still promoting Fusion, so they kind of did what they did with the original manga, where they're like, here's a little tease of like what Fusion is. The game just came out. Go follow the rest of the story by going to play.
Mm-hmm. That might have actually lined up with the Japanese release date, because I believe it released after the North American version did.
That's actually a very good point, yeah, because it was November here for us. But in Japan, it was February of 2003, so you're correct. So this volume dropped a month before Fusion dropped in Japan, and so they put in a little extra sauce there at the end to tease you. So yeah, I guess that's why they did that, and there was no continuation. But I'm happy that they did that. I'm happy that they created their own manga that's its own thing, instead of like making somehow Samus and Joey, or making a Metroid Fusion manga that was also incomplete because you had to go actually play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I don't know. I feel like I actually feel like I had, I almost had like more fun talking to you guys about it than I did kind of reading it myself. Not that I didn't have a good time reading it myself, like, but just, I guess what I would say, kind of like how Doom was saying at the beginning, it kind of helps like when you maybe have someone be like, this is the best way to interpret this or to look at this. And I feel like you guys kind of helped me along actually in that regard. So I do kind of feel like I ended up in it, maybe with a more positive, a positive experience, obviously, but like just a more positive outlook on Samus and Joey after our episode here today. So I thank you both for that. Not that I didn't like it, but like I wasn't quite sure if I loved it, didn't like it, liked it, somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad we were able to help you form your own opinion.
Well,
so
yes. Sometimes you gotta have that. Is this good? Is it not good? Am I overthinking? Am I not?
Look, you don't have to enjoy it if you don't want, but I think it is like, it's good to hear what other people's perspectives are, because then you do kind of see like, oh, maybe this is not as bad as I, or like, I was looking at it the wrong way. Maybe if I look at it this way, I would actually enjoy it.
I think that's it. Yeah. I think that's it.
Honestly, to me, kind of going back to that kind of 80s, you know, almost G.I. Joe kind of analogy I made earlier, I'd even go in a different direction, maybe. I would compare this more to like Captain M, which I know is a cartoon that you adore. And I feel like this would kind of, you know, aside from maybe like the cursing and all that, I feel like this kind of fits more into that domain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's better than Captain N, but that's not saying a whole lot. Captain N, the show, by the way, I haven't read the Captain N comics, which eventually we'll probably get to on this show, because Samus is a big central figure in the comics, not on the show, but yeah, like one thing that I knew for sure when I finished yesterday, and I was looking forward to this episode, because I kind of was like, I think that Dak and Doom could maybe, you know, sway my opinion like a little bit, or maybe just better way to put it is like help me kind of solidify my own thoughts on it. But one thing I did know for sure is like I'm looking forward to the second version, like the second volume. Like I it's a light breezy adventure. And you know, again, like manga isn't my preferred method of media, never will be, but yeah, like I'm looking forward to the next one. And I guess that's the biggest thing, right? When you have something like this, is like you want to be excited for what's next.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I could absolutely see this as like something that were to be like dubbed as like an American cartoon, and could definitely see it being like a Saturday morning cartoon thing. I also honestly, if the writing was like a little more mature and a little smarter, I could see it as like an Adult Swim kind of thing. And play into that kind of writing and storytelling. I think it would be really good. But what I loved about this the most is how Samus is not the main character. It's like Samus and Joey, but it's Joey's story. Like Samus doesn't really have like an arc, you know, like she just shows up to like do the real work, which I think is great. Like I hate to rag on the Halo show, but I think that was one of its kind of downfalls, is it made Master Chief the main character instead of kind of making him the dude who shows up and like makes a real difference on the battlefield and dips, and you kind of, he's more of a mystery or whatever. And I think this is a really good way to do it, because Samus or Joey's the character you kind of relate to and has those, the human emotions and the character arc. And then Samus is the one who comes in and brings the action, brings the hype, brings the Metroidiness, I guess, of it in a way. And, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of time of being like, well, Samus is this troubled person and has the background and blah, blah, blah. Samus would just be a cool video game character almost, which is really both works well for the story, works well as being kind of Joe's, like, or Joe. I don't know why I called him Joe. Like, he's a grown ass man.
Hey, Peter.
But like, you know, but having Joey kind of like essentially run around with a video game character worked really well for the comedy and the levity of the story. So I like that approach too. Ultimately, I don't know why I was so like, you know, oh, I shouldn't check this out, it's going to be dumb, like it's going to be a silly kid's story, because like I should have probably known better that it wouldn't be that literally kids oriented, because it's Metroid. But I like how it was done. It, you know, obviously it could be, there's so much potential for it to be so much more, but for what it is, it's fun, it's light, it's a cool non-canon, you know, twist that like isn't going to completely shock you, but like gets the job done and gets you wanting to read more. So it has a lot of cool artwork, a lot of cool art, and some funny laughs here and there that aren't like, you know, the most original jokes, but they're, you know, good enough. So yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I'm glad it's reading it like along, or like talking about it, I think is always going to be fun as a group, because we can kind of, you know, riff on it a little bit more. But I enjoyed reading it as much as I, you know, enjoyed reading the original manga too. So far, two for two on enjoyment. I'm looking for a complete story here, and I hope we get that.
Yeah. All right. Do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
One more shout out again to the narrator, the absolute goat of the whole story.
Yeah. And you know what? Shout out to, to Metro Database. If anyone wants to check these comics out, they are all available on the Metro Database site. I know that, they put a lot of work into getting them translated. So really quickly, I'm going to, just quickly shout out, we've got CCH Hunter, we've got Capcom, we've got a bunch of people to thank for getting this done and translated for us. So, and of course, thank you to them for hosting that. Go check it out over on their website. It's available right now. Yeah, I'm excited for Volume 2. It's going to be a good time. And we'll get to Volume 2. That'll be the next manga in review. And we'll try not to wait too long in order to get that done. But as mentioned, we do have a couple Super Metroid shows coming up here to celebrate the game's 30th anniversary. So that's going to be really awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. That's my favorite game ever. So really, really jazzed to talk about Super Metroid, a game I've played probably more than any other game ever. Stoked about that. My friends is going to do it for us. Let us know what you think about our review of Joey and Samus, and be nice to us. Yes, a couple people were very nice last time with when we did the manga. So, you know,
I don't remember that.
Well, they were nice to you.
Yeah, I don't remember them being mean to me.
Go figure. You were the one that actually read the one part of the story correctly. So, I mean, maybe, you know.
I'm sorry that I was tapped in. I'm sorry that I read it.
You were dialed in, yeah. You made a triumphant return this week, and I'm glad that you did, because we would have been talking about something completely different if you hadn't. Probably. All right. So, yeah, like I said, let us know over on Discord what you think about this episode, what you think of our thoughts. Let us know your thoughts on Samus and Joey. And make sure that you are checking out OmegaMetroid.com. We have all of the episodes that we've ever done listed over there. We have guides, news, walkthroughs, maps, you name it, it's there. We got the Great Metroid Area ranking rolling along over on Patreon, so go and check that out, patreon.com/SBNet. And, you know, wherever you get your podcasts, go and drop us a like, go and drop us a follow, subscribe, review, rate. You know, that would be really awesome if you could give us a 5-star rating. That helps more people be able to see this podcast and ups the visibility. So we'd really appreciate if you guys could take a second and do that. If you enjoy what we do, that would be that'd be really cool. And give us a follow, of course, as well. Last thing here, check us out over at Omega Metroid Pod, at Spateri316, at DaxCity_, at Duminal Cross. And you know, make sure that you're subscribed to on YouTube to see our smiling faces as we do these shows every week. That is it, my friends. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll see you back here next week for some Super Metroid talk. So until then, everybody, take care.